The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
Horns up, everyone. And elbows up, Canada.
There you go.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, we're still not the 51st state, so we can still officially call this Wrestling Night in Canada.
Yeah,
so.
We can still do that. Yeah.
It's not Wrestling Night in Maruca yet.
Yeah, not, yeah. And still no Don Cherry, just so you
there
referencing the last episode. Yeah, still no Don Cherry, but you know, hopefully we're still in the top 10 wrestling podcasts in all of Canada.
In all of Canada, yeah.
That's something no one can ever take away from us.
Nope.
That's right.
Yeah.
It might be only number 10.
Yeah.
But we'll take it. We'll take it.
In the whole country? Yeah.
That
sure.
works.
Sure. Yeah.
Works for us.
And anyone outside of Canada, after they just heard me say elbows up, they're probably like, now what the fuck are these goofy Canucks talking about? Okay. Well,
elbows up, eh?
Elbows up, eh? Yeah.
Elbows
well,
up, eh?
We had this legendary hockey player. No, not Wayne Trumpsky. Okay. As legendary as he is, there was a hockey player, like, even before he was just about to retire, like during my time, but that was the legendary Gordie Howe.
Mm-hmm.
Now his thing was throwing the elbows.
Oh yeah.
And he had his own Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, an assist, and a fight. To this day in hockey, that's the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Okay.
So with elbows up, that was his thing. And that is now the response after Mike Myers, not the Halloween killer.
That's Michael Myers.
Yeah, that's Michael Myers. But Mike Myers, you know.
Talking about Wayne Campbell here.
Right. Right. At the end of a recent Saturday Night Live episode where, you know, the cast gets all together. And goodbye. We love you.
Thank you to the musical guest. Thank you. Thank you. Good night.
Well, Mr. Myers had a shirt on that said Canada is not for sale and kept doing the elbows up thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, yeah.
Well, so, good for him. That's Yeah.
So, but we'll try not to make it too political or anything. It's just, that's just a thing that's on everyone's mind up here north of the 49 and all that. So, yeah. It could happen. We'll try not to. We don't want to get on our soapbox because we got a lot of really cool stuff to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like, we're back in action. We're doing this a week after our last episode.
That's,
I think, it's a first for us.
Yeah. Since we started back here at the, we haven't done a week by week episode since we were recording over Skype, which, by the way, also is not going to be a thing pretty soon.
May, Skype's gone.
Yeah. It's merging with Microsoft Teams. From what I've seen.
No wonder I was having such a problem with my Skype a couple weeks
end of an. How are you and Aaron going to record now?
We're going
go to Microsoft Teams.
There's,
I guess
there's Zoom. There's,
all right. Yeah, that's true.
We'll come up with something.
Aaron, you're going to have to move to Canada, bud. There's no other way.
Oh yeah. He's already said that.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I would love to like come up. And I'm like, yeah.
Come on, Aaron. Come to Winnipeg.
Bring the whole brood.
Yep.
You know,
bring the fam, but you already have a snow shovel, so you're already prepared.
Okay.
So,
you know what it's like.
Even though he lives in North Carolina,
he's in South Carolina.
Okay.
And they actually got some snow this year.
Yeah, he was saying that. I remember that. Yeah. I was shocked. I didn't think the Carolinas got
but
snow.
But what did it go to? +10?
Oh, no. Like, on the other side of, well, okay, if you're talking Fahrenheit or like the real.
No, because some people in +10 think that's cold up there.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
Cough, cough, my friend's husband, Dee Dee in New Orleans. Love you, boys.
Well, even Northern California gets snow sometimes, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. So we got a lot of really cool stuff to talk about because, like I said, it's only been a week. And so
news in the wrestling world moves very fast.
And also, as we're talking, we're actually going to watch an AEW pay-per-view tonight for the first time in, I don't fucking know.
Right. For a while. Yeah. For the first time since I switched from Shaw till Bell.
Revolution.
AEW Revolution. The main event is Mox versus Cope. So, or for all you WWE fans out there, Dean Ambrose versus Edge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm never going to call him Cope. Like, no. Like, just to Adam let it slide
it's,
off.
It's yeah, it's it seems like a, too much of a tryhard.
Yeah.
I still want that I Am Legend shirt, though.
Oh, yeah, where the word Edge is inside of Legend.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's clever.
That's clever. I will agree. But
like, I get it. You can't call him Edge.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm sure Edge from you, too, probably...
The Edge.
Would have had something to say about
that. Right, but there's a, like, I don't know, it's, he clearly wanted just a one-syllable name, just like he did, but, I don't know, Cope?
Yeah.
That doesn't...
Dude, just, why not just Adam?
Yeah, or,
you know,
well, what was wrong with just being called Adam Copeland?
Like, perfect.
Yeah, like,
perfect.
Or why if you're going to do that, why not just go back to your old ring name, Sexton Hardcastle?
God.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah. Okay, let's not be tearing that Band-Aid off.
Yeah. Or what, was he was Adam Edge at one point, too, wasn't he?
Adam Impact.
Adam Impact, that was it, yeah.
The one and only time I saw Stuart Copeland. Adam Copeland was...
Now we're talking about the Police? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Which is weird because you had the... 80s, 70s, 80s rock band had Sting, wrestling as Sting.
Yep.
The Police, the band, had Stuart Copeland.
Yep.
Now wrestling has Adam Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
And now Andy Sumner of The Police is like, well, what's going to happen with me now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's my wrestler? Like, come on. So, yeah, we... got lots of cool stuff to talk about, stuff that I can't wait to dive into. But
well, let's go in head first.
Yeah, first
let's tope suicida into this stuff.
there we go. Because one of us was pretty active this weekend because there was a pretty big event on the local front with the Winnipeg Wrestling.
WPW.
WPW. Yeah.
WPW.
What's going on? What went on this weekend?
Was the second annual WPW Voyager Cup.
The Voyager Cup.
Yep.
So is that like...
It's a 16-man tournament.
Okay, so single?
The Festival de Voyageur Cup.
Oh,
hey.
Shit.
Hey, ho!
Yeah. Hey, ho! I don't know, actually, but that would be hilarious. Anyways, the winner of this 16-man tournament would get a title shot at Rumble at the Burt 3 later this year.
Okay.
Wow, we're only at the third one of those, eh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Night one, there was 8 matches. That was a long, long
That's
night.
A big card, yeah.
Yeah.
Considering that your average WWE pay-per-view is only 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
The participants were Bobby Schenk.
Sweet Bobby Shane. Yeah, throw in the nicknames, man.
Come on.
The Jack Jesus, Tommy Lee Curtis.
Of course.
Jackson Conway.
Yep.
Bryce Bentley.
That is an indie name right there.
Yeah, well, remember his tag partner used to be Sammy Peppers. They were Red Hot Summer.
Oh, yeah, it's yep.
Okay.
AJ Sanchez.
Okay.
Sammy Peppers. Mark. Michael Allen. Richard Clark.
Oh, yep.
Ah,
Mark, yeah.
Dalton Rouge, ATM,
is it Big Rouge or Rogue?
Big Merv. I don't. Big Merv used to be a WPW ref. Now he's a wrestler.
Hmm.
He's really good. Brent Banks. I don't know where he's from, but holy shit, very good. This new guy named Brax,
like Brax.
Yeah.
Okay.
Josh Cheeks Halliday.
Cheeks. Why do they call him Cheeks?
I don't know.
Something to do with his ass?
I don't know.
Is he like a Rikishi knockoff?
Not sure.
Or does he have squishy, puffy cheeks on his face?
He was the one that, when we cheeks. Went, Josh Alexander beat the shit out of him.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. I remember that.
Well, that could have been any wrestler when Josh Alexander wrestles.
Right.
Yeah.
That's me being a mark.
And then, yep. Warhorse.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
The Dynamite Kid, Tommy Billington. Mm. Was
Sweet.
In the tournament.
Sweet.
And Gringo Loco was in the tournament.
From GCW. Or does he have a GCW contract or is he just kind of like
I'm not sure, but he goes
he's one
everywhere.
Of those nomadic wrestlers. Yeah,
yeah he okay. had a his GCW Japan tour shirt with him.
Mm. That's cool.
And basically the winner of Yeah. So the semifinals, I'll just do this because I don't want to talk about it forever.
Yeah.
The semifinals were Tommy Billington versus Dynamite Kid. No, that's the same dude. Tommy Billington versus Warhorse.
It's an
which Tommy Billings.
Undertaker versus Undertaker.
Then it was Bobby Shank versus AJ Sanchez, and they're the current WPW Tag Team Champions.
Ooh, how will they coexist?
Bobby Shank won that. Then the finals was Bobby Shank versus Tommy Billington.
Okay.
And Bobby Shank came out victorious.
Cool. Ah, okay, good. Like, something like that, you gotta put the local guy over.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's no point on having the quote-unquote name come in, trample everyone.
Make everyone look
win
bad.
Win it all. Mm-hmm. Make your league look bad. You know, and
well, we have, they did well, that. They have Tommy every month now.
Well, that's
like,
good.
He's like a mainstay now for
okay.
WPW, which is cool.
And where is he from? Calgary?
Calgary.
Okay. While Calgary has produced some of the best wrestlers in the world.
And his uncle is only Wild Dynamite Kid.
Yeah.
So
it's not just a clever name.
No.
Okay.
There was also a women's title match on the show. Ava Lawless defended her title against Cherry Blossom from Japan.
Hmm.
Cherry Blossom,
Cherry
not
Blossom.
Japan.
Not familiar, but...
Yeah, okay. She's she just graduated from one of the dojos,
okay.
So she's newer, but she's good. And then after the match, everyone started chanting, Jody's better.
Oh, come
on. And then she was like, you're going to boo me on National Women's Day?
Well,
yeah, and then Jody Threat came out, and then Jody challenged her for a fight at the museum April 12th for the women's title. So that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be good. Also at that show, Sammy Peppers and Bryce Bentley are going to fight off in a steel cage.
Oh, okay.
Really? Wow. Okay, so how do they just bring in the cage walls for something like that?
Yeah,
like, they just assemble it before the match? Okay. I wouldn't imagine they would have it above the ring.
Oh,
a la WWE style, lowering it down.
No. Just with the music playing. Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun. No, but no, instead it would just be like the sound of a hydraulic thing just going.
A little lower.
Nope, no, that went up.
And then Bryce, after the match, Bryce attacked Peppers because Bryce cost Sammy the round one.
Okay.
And then Sammy cost Bryce the Sammy's the quarterfinal match last night. And then after Bryce Bentley, and I don't remember the name of his new lackey, but he used to be with Tommy Lee Curtis. I don't remember his name.
Okay.
They attacked Sammy Peppers and cut him. Well, Sammy got color.
Okay.
So this cage match is going to be good.
Well, it's always nice when they incorporate storylines into a tournament. But like, as much as I'm sure everyone would love it to just be like a sports-based tournament, it's wrestling. You got to have some storylines in there.
Yep.
You got to have people screwing each other over.
Exactly.
I know I get really upset when a guy costs me a Sammy.
And it was funny when he cost Sammy Peppers because... Fuck.
Sorry. That popped into my head when you said he cost him a semi. I was like, oh, I hate that.
He when Bryce interfered during Sammy Peppers versus Mark, Bryce Bentley's music hit. And even after, Mark was like, whose fucking music was that? Like, that was good.
What, did Def Rebel write his music?
No, I can't remember what band he uses for it, but... a shitty song.
Hmm.
But it fits his character.
Fair enough.
And yeah, so that's going to be good. And then Matt Cardona, quote-unquote live via satellite, answered Raj Deshi, formerly Jinder Mahal, challenge for fight at the museum. So it will also be Deshi versus Matt Cardona.
So we're going to see a former WWE champion take on a former Intercontinental champion?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Or both of them former United States champions.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
They are.
So both of them former. Or wait, no, was Raj ever a tag team champion when he was in 3MB?
I don't remember.
Because I know Cardona was, well, he was tag team champions multiple times over his career.
Yeah.
So.
I don't remember if Raj was.
I would like to think he was. Like, I can't remember. Like, there's, like, so many different teams have won those fucking penny belts over the years that it's like. You wouldn't think they would, or you could tell me that any two men would have won those copper penny tag titles, and I'd be like, yeah, sure. Yeah. I believe you.
I think 3MB had them at one point.
Yeah, I know Drew McIntyre definitely did. I think he definitely had them with Cody Rhodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Heath Slater had them at several points with several
everybody,
different people. Yeah.
Rhino twice.
Yeah. But hey, who the fuck knows?
Yeah.
Like, I'm still shocked that John's like I still like have to process that John Cena's never been intercontinental champion. So
yeah.
So no grand, that's true. No grand slam for Big Match John.
That's true. Like, he hasn't been Intercontinental champion.
Like I find it funny that the Vince McMahon used to call him the Babe Ruth of wrestling, and yet he's never been a grand slam champion. How ironic!
Whoa! Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
The fuck?
Wah wah.
Wah wah.
Well, maybe Mr. Heel Cena will.
Yeah.
We'll probably win one if he. Well, after he. Becomes a 17-time world champion.
Because it's going to happen.
Because it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Yep. I have.
When it was announced, he was on like 5 SmackDowns in a row after WrestleMania. It's just like, yeah, he's.
Yeah. Well, what about the build to WrestleMania?
Yeah.
Like, is that not important? Like,
that's got to be the important thing.
Yeah.
You'd think so, but well, whatever. We'll get into that a little bit later after you finish going through the card here.
Yeah.
And also, the world title match at Fight at the Museum is James Roth. Defending against Chad Daniels in a rematch because last time.
Okay, so David Lee Roth and Jack Daniels.
Yeah. Cool. Because last time James Roth accidentally, because of Brax, they were like holding the belt and doing like, no, it's mine, no, it's mine, no, it's mine.
Oh, the old tug of war.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Brax let go and then James Roth turned around and clocked Chad with the belt and the ref saw it. So he was like, he didn't get his fair shot, blah, blah, blah.
We've all seen that spot before.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just like rematch. So that's probably the main event, if not the cage match.
Well, I mean, for an indie show, a cage match, it would be hard to do that in the middle of the card, I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to have it last.
Yeah.
Last or second last, anyway.
Yeah, the setup and takedown would be too much, I would think, in between. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. If they do that for the main, that'd be... perfect.
Yeah, for sure. Then you wait till everybody leaves to take down the cage.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just makes sense. You know?
It does.
Yeah, but...
Wrestling.
Well, yeah. But it's easier to do it in the middle of the card when you can lower it and
raise it back
up at your will.
There was no federations in the territories had the cage elevating up and down and all that.
Well, even WWF didn't have that up until, like, 1998. So,
right. Yeah. So...
They had the blue steel cage with the current steel cage top, which looked weird as shit.
Oh, really? So it was like...
No, WWF did.
Oh, right.
Remember?
Bars. Yeah, oh, right, yeah.
The bars and then like the...
The weird like bulked out top. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That looked weird.
Yeah, I imagine it would, but... Mm-hmm. Easier to stand on to do high risk maneuvers where you risk everything and then you get nothing.
Yeah. And so, I'm not sure if I've seen a cage match.
Like, live?
Yeah.
Neither have I. I never have, no.
Mm-hmm. I've been to multiple WWE house shows.
Yeah, they've never had a cage match at any house show that I've been to.
The old CWF when we were part of the NWA. Who was the champion at the time? Robbie Royce. The pissed off Pitbull defended against Paul Diamond in a cage at the old Le Rendezvous. Of course, last episode I mentioned Wahoo McDaniel, Manny Fernandez, special guest Vern Gagne at the last AWA card here in the cage and all that. So, yeah, Winnipeg has had its share of cages. Another one I remember, I didn't make my list, but Rick Martel defended the AWA world title against Boris Zukov. Special guest referee, John Ferguson. So, hey...
Yeah, of all the WWE non-televised events I've been to, I've only seen, like, one, like, special stipulation match, and that was the nightstick on a pole match between Jericho and the Big Boss Man.
Right.
Because on that same card, it was advertised that we were going to get a dog collar match between Road Dogg, Jesse James, and Badass Billy Gunn when the New Age Outlaws first broke up, but then Billy Gunn comes out, and then X-Pac comes out, and it's just a regular one-on-one match. And I was like, what the fuck? I wanted to see a dog collar match.
We paid for
card subject to change.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the fly.
Well, it was supposed to be The Rock versus the Big Boss Man. But The Rock couldn't make it, you know.
Right,
but we got
right.
Jericho instead. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, whatever. It's sometimes...
card subject to change.
Yep.
But yeah, like, Gringo Loco being there was great. His two matches were fantastic. He had a Spanish fly on AJ Sanchez, which I don't know how the fuck.
Which sounds dirty. But
yeah, okay. That's. were there children in the audience?
Yeah, hey, what the fuck?
The kids in the audience chant "Fuck you, Chad." It's awesome.
Hmm. Well. Okay, well.
So, and at the end of the day?
End of the day, yeah.
Horns up, horns down, horns in the middle.
Yeah, WPW events usually are a pretty good time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I...
From the few that I've attended.
Okay, you've seen more than I have. I saw the one.
Yeah, there's like... Well, there's the one that all three of us went to at the WEC a couple of years
That's
ago.
That's the one with Josh Alexander, I think, right?
Yeah.
And Jody Threat.
And Jody. That's when Jody won the title.
She was the inaugural WPW Women's Champion, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been to another one. I just can't remember. But or maybe that was a different. I went to some indie wrestling show at Doubles Fun Club in Transcona a while back because Kenny
wasn't
Omega,
that PCW.
Yes, that was PCW. Never mind. Don Callis and Kenny Omega were there. So
Makes sense.
The whole reason why I went.
Yeah,
you guys should get tickets for Fight at the Museum. It's April 12th.
April 12th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Saturday. Look into it. It's
about a month.
Okay.
Tickets go on sale on Friday.
Right.
Friday morning.
Okay.
Sorry, that's my alarm. I don't know why I have my alarm set for 5:45 p.m., but...
Yeah,
it's a Saturday night.
Okay.
Since I'm going to kind of, sort of, in a roundabout way, kind of keep this local, okay? Because I was so stoked.
Mm-hmm.
I was, for months now, I was really excited about the big debut of the Queen of the Ring movie.
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of press going on for it. That altercation between Toni Storm and Mariah May at the premiere.
Yes.
That was great.
That is shit that wrestling needs.
But also, why is AEW not promoting it?
Good question.
Because they're...
Maybe they will tonight. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they don't have production meetings at all, so...
Well, then, because they're dumbasses and they don't have half of the promotional ability...
That the WWE has.
How, going off topic again for a second, but that contract signing with Ricochet and Swerve.
Right.
When Ricochet knocked off his own hat so Swerve could hit him with the scissors. It's like, my guy.
Yeah, don't be doing that. Yeah.
He was holding the scissors off, and he shook his head so his hat would come off, and then Swerve hit him with the scissors.
God.
It's like, when you stood up from the table, you couldn't have just taken your hat off and thrown it all pissed?
Yeah, like, that would have worked. Or
it's not that hard.
He could have knocked off his hat.
Or what was it, when Christopher Daniels was in the back bleeding and he's punching himself in the head?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, wow. Wrong, bad time to turn the camera around.
Yeah.
Bad timing, Chris. Bad time. But, stop hitting yourself.
Like I was saying, like, that is perfect, what happened between Storm and May. Because they were both in the movie.
Yep, and also... Naomi from WWE was there too. So, so a WWE wrestler was a WWE contracted wrestler was there in the middle of an AEW storyline.
Okay. But
it's like people not getting mad that Bayley showed up for Sasha showing up in AEW when Bayley was up in the rafters.
Sasha's debut. Yeah.
But other wrestlers showing up in the back in AEW, and people are like, oh, they're traitors. It's like, you fucking
more
babies.
Wrestling fans need to kiss more girls.
I fucking hate wrestling fans.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Fuck them kids.
Fuck them kids.
Yeah. But no, because they're both with AEW.
Yep.
Okay. And they're both at this event, and there's what's supposed to be bad blood. Okay, and they happened to encounter one another, and they carried that into this situation. God,
that's
wrestling
what you gotta
needs
do.
More of this.
Like back in the day, like I remember hearing a story like from Ric Flair when it was after a WCW event when he was feuding with Ricky Steamboat.
Okay,
you know one of the many times, but apparently just out of just pure coincidence, those two ran into each other at a convenience store. When they were on their way to the next town.
Right.
And some fans were there. So Ricky saw, Steamboat saw Ric Flair on the other side of the store. Some fans were there. They saw both of them. So Ricky just went up to Flair, started giving him a piece of his mind, telling him off and blah, blah, blah. And to the point where, like, Flair afterwards was like, hey, man, do you have some sort of problem with me or something?
And then
Ricky was just like, no, I was just doing that for the fans.
What the fuck?
Yeah. As if Nate wouldn't have known
that. Yeah,
like,
all people.
Yeah.
Come on.
And also, Rick posted this morning, he posted something this morning that he's still under AEW contract.
Is he? Wow. They're just not using him on TV or promoting his mushroom energy drink. Yeah. Whatever. Like,
remember how he wanted to fight John Cena?
Remember, yeah. He just said it like 2 days ago, didn't he? He's like, John Cena is going to have to go through me to get to 17 world championships.
John can just push him to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even, even a gust of wind
could knock over Ric Flair. John can run by Flair, and that'll be the gust of wind that knocks him over.
No, even I shared that same quote with Mike Mason, our former co-host, and his first thing was like, "Well, Ric Flair's been drinking again, I see."
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
I mean, he's joking, but that's totally in the realm of possibility. Yeah. So I was all stoked for this, for the Queen of the Ring movie. It's been a build-up. It's on International Women's Day. That my wife and I, we had planned, and this is
would have been appropriate. Yeah,
of course.
So, yeah.
And it's a good date movie. Like, my wife's no longer a big wrestling fan, but this is like the like the Iron Claw movie. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a wrestling fan to appreciate this film.
To be invested in the story.
Yeah. Right, right. This, and then the whole idea, though, you know, behind it. So, guys, you're a wrestling fan. Your wife, girlfriend, spouse, okay, whatever, she's not, or he's not.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good date night movie because everyone can go to this. So we're all excited, okay?
Right.
I'm finally going to see this movie. I decide to hit the WinnipegMovies.com website to check to see what time would work best for us.
Mm-hmm.
Queen of the Ring is not screening in any Winnipeg theaters.
Not a single one.
Motherfucker. Oh, my God.
Like, not Silver City, not...
Nothing.
Not any of the littler ones.
Yeah, well, nothing. Nothing. Not even just a one-night-only type.
What's the little one over by the Burt? The Town 8?
That's long gone.
Oh, that's gone? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing. Like, I couldn't believe this. And it's like, it had good hype. And I believe you mentioned something before we pressed record. Well, how the hell did we get the Iron Claw?
The Iron Claw was playing at Polo Park. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man. Now, obviously, when, like, it's going to hit streaming.
Of course. Well, yeah, it's probably going to be on Prime or something. Yeah.
And I'll probably, I don't know if I'm going to shell out.
$4.99 to rent it.
$4.99, yes.
Yeah.
But after, like, there are sometimes a movie will, it's like $25, like if it's
For the premiere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then after a while, it goes down.
Disney Plus did that for a while, and then they stopped, and I was like, good. I'm not paying $26 US to watch The Rock in Jungle Cruise or whatever the fuck it was called.
Right. Yeah. But I think that had to do with the pandemic, though, because there was nothing in the theater.
Right.
So,
yeah, Kong versus Godzilla was one of those ones you had to pay like $25 for. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not doing that. I'm sorry.
And now it's on Amazon and Netflix.
Yeah,
and
now.
Is it?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, yeah, so. Really disappointed. I mean, like I said, I'll shell out $5 to rent it. Okay.
Yeah, it'll probably be on YouTube. Yeah, YouTube and Prime. You probably have to pay to watch for a couple, like rent it for a couple of days.
It's not on Prime yet. I just checked.
No,
right.
Well, it will be soon enough, though.
Yeah,
like probably within a month, I imagine.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. Well, I was just. You know, we were going to go out for dinner. We were going to...
Yeah, you had a whole evening planned around.
Revolved around this damn movie.
Well, keep your eye on Cinema Clock or whatever websites you used to...
Who knows? Yeah. Maybe it's just a little late.
Maybe it'll pop up like for a one-night only thing. And you'll have to be like... You have to tell the wife, be like, we got to go right now. There's one screening in an hour.
Go.
Forget it. Yeah. Forget your pants. Whatever. Let's just go.
Now,
get in the car.
You guys mentioned Prime.
Oh,
Prime
yeah.
and wrestling and all of that.
Oh yeah, AEW.
AEW. Okay,
it's on TSN.
Right, yeah. TSN, which we already have
yep.
here in Canada.
Yep.
But you have the option to, if you want to watch AEW, well, when you're on the Prime app,
you got to pay $20 a month.
$20 a month to get TSN. And I'm kind of like, okay. But the good thing about this, though, is the pay-per-views are
$56
on Prime.
Right, you know. You still got to pay.
Yeah,
you
still got to pay.
Oh, yeah, like there's still...
It almost makes me... I almost kind of want to just ditch cable altogether and just, like, pay for that because it would still be cheaper.
Like, right.
Get rid of my home phone service, which I don't even own a home phone, but I'm still paying $20 a month for the service. Right. Get rid of that. Get rid of my cable, which is $40 a month.
Yeah.
Or probably even more. Or, right. Yeah, and then only have to pay another additional $20 to watch AEW for the TSN part of Prime.
And then when decide to get a pay-per-view, drop $50 every now and then.
Which I would have to anyway.
Yeah.
So
and there we go.
I would totally get rid of cable. Okay, cut the cord.
Mm-hmm.
But being a sports fan, there's just too much on TSN and on Sportsnet.
They probably have a Sportsnet package on Prime too that you can buy for another $20.
Probably. Who knows?
I'm pretty sure our friend Sam and Max paid for that for a little while. They had Sportsnet as part of Prime, so they could watch WWE before.
The only thing on TV, cable TV, and I wouldn't even catch this.
Oh, looky, Sportsnet.
Regularly. Okay, I wouldn't even catch this regularly. But Saturday night on a CW affiliate, or it was a Fox affiliate or something.
Okay.
The women of wrestling.
Yeah.
Is on like Saturday night at like 10 o'clock or whatever. So if I'm in front of a TV at the time or I think about it, it's like, oh, okay, this is on. I can, you know, or if I'm watching other sports, I'll flip back and forth and all that. Which, speaking of other sports,
We can't talk about other sports on a wrestling show.
I'm just throwing this out here just to show my dedication to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our listeners can appreciate this then. I'm a sports fan.
Yep.
One of the biggest sporting events in Canada is the Brier, the big men's curling tournament. The gold medal game is going on maybe in about an hour.
Okay.
And all that. So
if my grandpa were still here, he'd be stoked.
I should be at home watching the big game, but no, I'm here doing this because I love our listeners.
Yep.
And I love you guys, and it's gonna be a great night.
And we're gonna watch our first AEW pay-per-view in a very long time.
When is the last time we watched an AEW? Oh,
who the fuck is the WNIC champion? Whatever happened to that?
Shit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, we gotta.
It's now vacant. It's held in abeyance or whatever. So
what we're gonna have to do is have a triple threat one of these times.
Yeah, not tonight.
But probably the next.
I know where the actual physical belt is, but who the champion was, I don't
remember. I don't even know.
And I don't have the time to go back through our episodes. That was probably like 20 episodes ago the last time we talked about that.
Yeah. Really not too worried about
WrestleMania?
What it was. But
probably,
Well, okay. Mania.
Bring it back for Mania?
Yeah.
Have a two-night tournament?
I am going to miss night two because of work, but then I could just watch Mania after work.
420, right.
So, yeah, it's...
Because I'll be working Devil Wears Prada... So,
okay,
right cool. At the Burt
Park,
okay,
and Era,
okay,
which I haven't seen JT in years, so it's gonna be nice to see him again.
Cool, man. Yeah, well, okay, fine. We'll have you're hearing it here first.
Yeah,
WrestleMania weekend. There'll be a two-night tournament to determine
the new
WNIC champion.
Right on.
And it's not gonna be anyone who hasn't been champion already multiple times before. So
that's right. Keeping kind of within the realm of the WWF, well, no, it is. Okay, last episode, I wasn't very happy with the Hall of Fame inductees.
No, you were, we were
Triple
both kinda...
H and the Undertaker's.
And the Undertaker's wife.
Okay, whatever her name is.
Mark's wife.
Mrs. Calloway.
Mrs. Mark.
Mrs.
Taker.
Michelle Mark's wife.
Yeah.
Mark's wife.
There we are. Since then, two other names have been announced.
Technically three.
Technically. What's... Because one's a tag team.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're going in together.
Right, but still.
So, still counts.
Still counts as two people.
Two rings.
Yeah. There you go. Mm.
Lex Luger.
Well, yeah, well deserved.
And the natural disasters.
Yeah, earthquake and typhoon. Two people.
I'm good with this. I'm good with these because, okay, yeah, like Lex never did much in the WWF / E or whatever.
He was a Royal Rumble winner.
But it was never really about just the WWF, though. That's why, like, the Von Erichs, I believe they're in the...
Agreed that Lex did far more in WCW than he ever did in WWE. Mm-hmm. But, like, he was pushed as, like, the next Hulk Hogan, and then he never took off because he didn't have the personality to be the next Hulk Hogan.
Right.
He had the look, but... Yeah.
But that's...
He was never... The narcissist gimmick was great with the mirrors being held up in the... Like, that was... It was entertaining, to say the least, but...
Right.
Yeah, former co-Royal Rumble winner with Bret Hart, never actually won the thing. WWE title.
Did you watch that Chris Van Vliet interview with Luger yet?
No.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's very good.
Okay, and like, but moving over to WCW, he was World Heavyweight Champion, and multiple time tag team champion with Sting.
Yeah,
U.S. champion, yeah. You know, he was the total Dusty. Package, yeah.
Yeah, like, he's... Definitely WCW Hall of Fame.
He was the first person to cross over during the Monday Night Wars on the very first episode of Nitro.
Oh, yeah, that was something else.
Yep.
The only people
who knew were Bischoff and Luger and Sting.
Hogan didn't even know?
No.
Oh, well, good.
Wow. So Bischoff actually did something without Hogan's okay?
Yeah, I don't believe it. Mm-hmm.
The only thing he told Luger was not to tell Vince.
Well, of course.
Right.
So, like.
Right. Yeah.
God, Bischoff is such an asshole, but you know what?
Yeah.
but he was the right kind of asshole. Right.
Speaking of Eric Bischoff, he got fired from MLW.
Really? Was he like the general manager?
Oh, shit. Intimidation Games was last night.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not Intimidation.
Yeah.
Is that what
was that what it was called?
MLW's Intimidation Games was last night, was it not?
Not familiar.
I thought that's what I saw on
Well, anyways,
YouTube.
Bischoff got fired.
Sorry. Okay.
Okay. Like sure. Kayfabe fired? That's what you said, firing?
Probably.
In quotations. Yeah. So.
I guess he's done with MLW now.
Did he get thrown into the back of a dumpster?
No, he got a phone call.
Oh, that's lame.
What the hell is that?
He was in his office and got a phone call saying he was fired.
Well, that's like how he fired Stone Cold Steve Austin from WCW. So you know what? What goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Karma, baby.
Fired by fax, wasn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Back when that was a thing, fax
Western
machines.
Western Express.
What?
Western Express.
Oh, yeah.
They used to get the FedEx.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Either way. Natural disasters. Can't complain.
Okay. No, like Typhoon and Earthquake.
If you think about it, Earthquake was 25 when he debuted?
Yeah, and he looked like he was 47.
Oh, God, yeah.
Poor guy.
Holy jeez.
And Dominic Mysterio is the same age now. And
yeah, and you look at the two of them next to each other, and it's like, what?
Yeah. 25, eh? Like I knew, like, John Tenta didn't have a big career before going to the WWF, but I figured... He was around the territories, and I just didn't really catch on, you know, for a number of years before he got signed to the WWF. That's why he looks like he's 80.
Yeah.
Or not. Okay, you know what I mean.
Look at the guy. Yeah, he was like 27, and he already had a skulllet, and he already weighed like 400 pounds. Like,
wasn't
yeah.
he like a Jeez. Sumo wrestler?
Maybe. That's what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
that's why I thought he was already well into his 40s by the time he debuted.
But yeah,
he had seen some shit.
Apparently, he had some secrets.
And the natural disasters—they worked well. It was a great team.
Yeah,
you know,
when they were baby faces, they were like all favorites of the kids, and when they were heels, they destroyed people.
Yeah,
so
it was fantastic.
Typhoon's still alive, isn't he?
I believe passed away.
Earthquake's
right?
not.
Yeah. Yeah, which is too bad.
Yeah, so, yeah, too bad he's not going to be there to get the ring, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder who's going to be inducting them.
Mm-hmm.
Good question.
Because, like, good obviously question. Shawn Michaels is going to do Triple H. Obviously, The Undertaker is going to do Michelle McCool.
Yeah.
And I can only hope that
Luger wants Sting.
Well, it should be Sting, even though he's under AEW contract.
Bischoff, like, because Bischoff's clearly under WWE contract.
Yeah.
He said on his recent podcast that WWE would welcome Sting.
Okay, well, they better. Because, like, I don't want any petty bullshit for
from,
this. Because, like,
Guantanamo Bay.
Guantanamo Bay, yeah. Like, yeah, I hope that it, like, I don't know. Like, if it was DDP, cool.
Yeah.
If it was, well, I hope it's not Cody Rhodes, even though he was the one who told him
mm-hmm.
that he was being inducted. But it has to be Sting mm-hmm. for me, because, like, when I grew up watching wrestling, Sting and Luger were a tag team. That's mm-hmm. just yeah. how it was.
Yeah.
Like,
Luger wants Sting to induct
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
So.
And like, they were a tag team long before you were born.
NWA, yeah. Yeah. Or NWO, sorry. Like, well, yeah, like when I saw them, they were in the Wolfpack together.
In the NWA, were, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like. So that's a name I'm going to throw out.
Oh, to see Luger stand up at Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah. He's definitely standing up to accept his award. Oh, like, sure. Just seeing him stand up in general for the first time since 2007.
Yeah.
Like 18 years he's been in that wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Good on him. Good on him.
And just those videos of him standing up with DDP, it's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's like, it brings a tear to your eye, mm-hmm. even though you've never met the guy, you don't know the guy personally, but at the same time, it's like...
He's also been through a lot of shit.
You
want to
see
yeah.
a story yeah. like
this
that.
Is someone that you grew up watching on TV who was right. a larger-than-life superstar who was yeah. like, who had the physique of a Greek god.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and like to see him bound to a wheelchair, unable to walk for the past 18 years, it's been humbling, mm-hmm. if nothing mm-hmm. else. But
and like even in that interview with Chris, they went in depth with DDP helping him, and then probably the hard question when he said he's taking full responsibility for Elizabeth's death.
Yeah, that had to be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah,
but
oh, okay, you didn't even try with that. That was an accident.
Yeah, no, sorry, that was unintentional, but yeah. maybe a poor choice of words, but yeah,
yes,
yeah,
yeah, oh, okay,
okay, well, but that may have been. Something that was really hard to process and take accountability for.
Yeah.
not using any slang terms or anything. Or right. figures.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. Not try not to use any euphemisms. But
I got a couple names that really like, okay, Sting, DDP, all these names have been bountied about,
mm-hmm.
you know, within the wrestling community. Flair.
Yeah, true.
Who made Lex Luger?
Yeah.
Flair did. Yes, Luger, you know, his first couple years in Florida, okay.
Dusty, was, too, but obviously Dusty's not here.
Yeah. Dusty kind of discovered him.
Yep.
You mm-hmm. know, and then, you know, he went from Florida to Crockett, you know, World Championship Wrestling, once the name from Mid-Atlantic changed.
Wouldn't surprise me if Dusty gave him his nickname, the Total Package.
Right. I'm... Maybe.
So you're Lex Luger, baby. You're the total Maybe. Package. Yeah. Look at you.
Yeah. But it was.
You got it all.
His, as when he came in as a heel, joined the Horsemen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When Luger and the Horsemen split, Lex got all the, you know, the feud with Flair and all that. Just like Sting, Flair made Luger. So that's definitely a name.
Mm-hmm.
Another name that I want to throw out to induct Luger would be Barry Windham.
Yeah.
Okay, because here's a guy, like, they weren't a team long, but they did have, you know, they were against one another, you know, when Windham turned heel into the Horsemen. So there is definitely a strong connection there. Windham is still with us.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're at it, J.J. Dillon would be another name.
Yeah,
He's still with us. And all that.
I would hope that Arn would be there for him too.
Yeah.
Not necessarily to induct him.
No, but he will be in the audience.
Yeah, for sure. But
Arn, you know, had a big was instrumental in Luger's career as well.
At the end of the day, though, the number one person who should induct him is Sting, though.
It's Sting.
Yeah.
I would be best with
that. Recently, Sting posted some pictures to his Instagram where he had some pictures with the Hardy Boys and Lex Luger all together. So, And like he's like in his full makeup, and it's funny, too, because Sting, since he's retired, has grown a beard. So he's got like the makeup over his beard, and you can clearly see it. So it looks a little funny, and he stopped dyeing his hair. So it's like his makeup blends in with his hair now. So
he's unironically becoming Surfer Sting again.
Yeah, he is now Stung.
Yeah, and the
he's now NWO Sting.
Yeah, more than you've ever thought. Yeah.
The one Crockett promotions card that was ever up here in Winnipeg, I guess it would have been about 1988. The main event, Flair was defending the NWA World Title against Lex Luger.
Wow.
Yeah.
That would have been something to see.
It was. It was fantastic. It was one of those times where, like, I can't believe the NWA is in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
Because we were in AWA territory. Then the WWF took it over for about 4 years at that point, 3-4 years. So to have the like this lone Crockett card here.
And you were there.
I was there. Okay. Yeah.
You got to see, you've seen Sweet Charlotte in the flesh. You've seen the 10 pounds of gold.
I have.
World's championship.
Yeah, yeah. And
the one that looks like 10 pounds of silver now.
Does it?
Yeah.
Remember Flair's last match? He wore the original one out.
Oh, right. Yeah.
He was faded to shit.
Oh, no, that was the big gold, wasn't
it? Big gold, yeah.
No, Sweet Charlotte is like the NWA world title. Right. Yeah, like the one
the NWA uses now.
Yeah, the one that looks like there's a tennis ball on top of it where the world is. And yeah. Like, yeah, there's
yeah.
Like...
Yeah, and Flair used, that was Flair's NWA belt for the Night of Champions against Nick Bockwinkel.
Big gold was the international title for a while.
That came...
It was a lot of history lessons with Snowy White.
Yeah. That came...
The one that Bischoff awarded Triple H.
I think after...
Yeah, that one.
I think that was after Turner bought Crockett and withdrew from the NWA. That's when the big gold belt came out. Now,
because it was called, for a while, it was called the WCW International Championship or whatever.
Yeah, but it had already been... The WCW title for...
Well, that was the one when Flair brought it over to the WWF.
Right.
They had to blur it out. And then WCW had their own other world title that looked suspiciously like the Big Eagle. Or the Winged Eagle. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they brought Big Gold back, and then that's when it became the International Championship. Yeah. Yeah.
It's,
I've gone cross-eyed.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. It's just... It's best to just stay vague.
Yeah.
You're going to tear your hair out if you get into incidentals and,
It's big gold. That's,
Yeah. Speaking of WCW and Lex Luger and Crockett and all that, the WCW vault.
Yes.
That the WWE has put out on YouTube.
Yeah, it's...
Thank you.
Yeah, because we lost access to all that stuff when the network folded. Yes. So, yeah. Yes.
Okay, when the WWF, they bought all the libraries from WCW, ECW.
For pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, yep. World class. You know, they bought all these libraries and then nothing. You know, they weren't doing anything with it because, at least up here, I don't think any of this stuff was on the networks up here. Okay, so we weren't getting nothing, and that's one of the reasons why, apart from not wanting to give any money to Vince, that's one of the reasons why, well, what do I need the network for if they're not airing up here what I want to see?
If you can't pick what you want to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, okay, this is the stuff, though, that I wanted on the network out of WCW.
Well, they would occasionally air, old stuff like that from time to time, just randomly on... throughout the day.
Oh, okay.
And then for a while they did have all the WCW stuff
up
on the network to choose from. You had to access that through a computer.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't do it through your cable box, unfortunately. But we had all that stuff at our fingertips. We had every episode of Nitro, every episode of Thunder, all the pay-per-views, all the old stuff. It was all there in the library on the WWE Network website. That's now gone as of January 1st this year. That was all gone.
Right. Yep.
And we're just like, when are we going to get this back? Is it going to be on Netflix? Is it going to be whatever? But nope, they're giving it to us for free on YouTube.
I'll take it.
Yep.
When's the ECW vault, Hunter?
Oh, please. Oh,
probably later this year. I imagine.
I want it.
Since they own everything ECW, can we get unedited? So, like, Van Damme coming out to Pantera?
That would all depend on YouTube's terms of service.
Yeah,
so
that might be rough.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would like...
I know WWE probably doesn't need to make money off of any of that stuff, but...
Right. But, yeah, you're right. And an ECW vault...
would be awesome.
A world-class vault.
Any use of music that's already copyrighted or any gratuitous use of blood or swearing could demonetize the videos and WWE wouldn't make any money off of them. So
Right. But at this point...
they could just put it up there for fun, just be like, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, WWE does not need to make any more money, but at the same time...
they're rich as shit.
At the same time, you know, the business is a business.
You own it.
So...
You own it, get it out there.
But also, WWE is showing blood again on TV, so...
Right, but that's on TV. YouTube is not TV, so like a lot of wrestling YouTube videos have to like gray out the blood when they show pictures or whatever from any of these old matches. And
if there's one match I think they would blur out blood-wise, it would be... probably Sabu Terry.
Oh, for sure.
No rope barbed wire.
But any gratuitous blood or gore...
Francine and... what's that announcer's name?
Oh, no. Oh.
Styles?
Joey Styles? The guy with the bow tie?
Yeah.
Yeah. What the hell's his name?
I can't remember.
When he lost like a quarter pint of blood in that match?
Yeah, the guy with the bow tie. Okay. The guy with the bow tie over top of the neck brace?
Bill Alfonso.
That was the ref that turned manager.
Bill Alfonso.
Yeah, you're talking about... He would come out
with the whistle.
Do the dirty limerick.
Yeah.
No, not him.
Oh, I thought that's who you were talking about.
Bill Alfonso.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Yes.
When she hit him with like a cookie sheet and then he bladed way too fucking deep.
Oh.
And lost like a pint of blood.
Like Guerrero did for JBL.
Yeah.
Yep.
How much blood could possibly be in Alfonso's body?
Yeah. A lot.
If there's a guy who should not be blading.
But,
it's Alfonso.
But like YouTube's terms of service is like you're only allowed a certain number of swears per video. And you're not allowed to show gratuitous blood, and any music that's copyrighted by another company, immediately it gets flagged, and all the money that we would have made for that video would go to the original owner. So, yeah. And, like, blood and swearing automatically demonetizes the video. All that money goes right to YouTube instead of the creator. And, yeah, so it's a whole thing. So it's very up in the air as to whether or not they'll be able to have the rights to show a lot of that stuff. But then again, yeah, it depends on if they're willing to take the hit or not. So,
right. And besides, I'll give me Rob Van Dam versus Jerry Lynn over any sort of stupid bloodbath any day.
Oh, for sure.
You know, like that's the stuff I want.
But, you know, here on the Shining Wizards Network, we can swear all we want. Oh, we can do anything. We don't make any money off this anyway. So, you know what? Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits.
That's the name of the episode.
Well, I don't know. George Carlin's estate would come after us for that.
So. Yeah, I think so. Have you guys watched anything from the WCW vault?
Not yet. I haven't. I'll get around to it though.
Okay. Yeah. Well,
they still have the launch thing going live right now.
Yeah.
That's the one I tuned in.
I know they have the first episodes of Nitro and Thunder, that would be more
when
my
I tuned
thing.
In when right. I couldn't fucking sleep earlier. It was the Thunder where Bret Hart faced Luger.
Okay.
Okay.
I probably watched that live and didn't even realize it. So, and when I say live, I mean taped after Nitro and aired on a Thursday. But you know.
Okay, because I'm knee deep in this.
Okay.
For the Super Clash of Champions 1 and 3.
It's just like when the WWE all stuff all showed up on Netflix and you were binge watching old WrestleMania stuff.
It was that stuff.
Yep.
The Flair Fujinami Super Brawl. Mm-hmm. I watched that. And they have an episode of Crockett's World Championship Wrestling from November 2nd of 1985. This is the stuff I want to see, and I'm getting it.
And then the
excited.
finally the Muda Austin match.
Oh yeah,
which was like 20 minutes, and then he backdropped Austin over the top rope and then disqualified.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that old stupid rule they had.
Yeah, you couldn't throw your opponent out of the ring or else he'd be disqualified.
Over the top rope.
Yeah, right. Over the top rope, yeah.
Well, that was with a lot of federations in the old territories, because the heels used that. Okay, the ref didn't see it, threw him over the top rope, so that's such a dangerous maneuver. So by the time the face got back in, he was already badgered and bruised. But this was, you know, the great days, you know, when a power bomb or a pile driver actually was a pin.
It was a finishing move.
Yeah, it didn't start the match.
Like how last night, you know, Tommy Billington, how he beat Warhorse, three pile drivers.
Three.
Just okay, one
see,
after
that,
the other.
That makes sense. You know?
Just bam. Bam, bam. Yeah. 1, 2, 3.
So I'm excited. I'm excited, and I'm
well,
sure.
I'm assuming if it doesn't go to Netflix, we may see an AWA vault, because all the AWA stuff was on the network.
I'm hoping so.
Yeah. We might see an old Georgia. Is Georgia Championship Wrestling owned by?
No. Georgia was. Okay. Georgia Championship Wrestling was
the original GCW.
Yes. Yes. And that was aired on TBS all the way up until Black Saturday.
So that was
when the WWF took that time slot over. But
okay, so GCW was never owned by
owned by Crockett, never owned by
Vince.
WWF. Okay. In 85, late 84, when Georgia folded, Crockett moved into that time slot. The name of that show was World Championship Wrestling.
Oh, right.
Georgia Championship Wrestling's the name of the show, you know, like Nitro or Raw.
Yeah.
It was World Championship Wrestling.
Georgia Championship Wrestling's World Championship Wrestling.
Right.
Jesus Christ.
I know. And then Crockett comes in, which was part of the NWA.
Yeah.
So it was NWA's. And then they were World Championship Wrestling.
Okay, so.
And then just over time, people just started referring to Crockett as the World Championship territory.
Okay.
And then when Turner bought it, withdrew from the NWA, and just referred to it as WCW.
Okay, so you explaining this to me is like the equivalent of me explaining the brand split between Raw and SmackDown to you, and then NXT coming into the fold.
Yeah,
and like,
sometimes like I'm Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
You know?
Wah, 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 wah.
Okay.
Wah, wah,
wah.
Yeah. Explaining to you how there was a brand split, but then the brand split ended, but then it happened again. And then NXT used to be a game show, and then it became the Indie Leagues, and then it became its own third brand. And now the Indie Leagues is WWE Evolved. And they each have their own set of world championships, and the World Heavyweight Championship, and the WWE Championship, and blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Fortunately, though, I just SmackDown title, Raw title.
Yeah.
You know, or
well, they kind of did that with a tag and women's titles for a while, and it just seemed a little too on the nose.
And
I like it when titles have names, like World and Intercontinental, and
But to me, they're both the WWF title, both the Undisputed and
what's all the fighting about?
They're both the WWF title.
Well, Cody has the WWE title. Gunter has the World Heavyweight Championship.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Both of those to me are this from the same lineage of the WWF title.
Okay.
You know, like I know it's not because like
well, the current World Heavyweight Championship is its own lineage that started in 2023. So
that was basically the consolation prize,
right?
Roman
the current like the one that Cody has like the World Heavyweight Championship and the Universal Championship and the WCW Championship and the
not the Universal, the Blue Universal.
Blue Universal. Well, either way. Yeah, it's got all of those are all folded into it. Yeah.
And then this new world title was the consolation prize.
Yeah. So, like, yeah, Cody's current title has the WWF, the WCW, the WWE, the World Heavyweight Championship, and then the WWE Champion and the Universal Championship are all folded into the one that Cody currently has.
So that means Cena won't be a 17-time champ. He'll be a 22-time champ?
Sure.
He'll actually beat Flair's actual record?
Yeah, and then...
Bruno, where are you?
you.
You know, John Cena was never the Universal Champion, okay?
He will be at WrestleMania.
Maybe, I guess, but yeah. But then the one that Gunther has is just the World Heavyweight Championship, which lineage only goes back to
Seth Rollins
in 2023. So Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Damian Priest, Gunther, they're the only four people that have held this current World Heavyweight Championship. So okay. Anyway.
I'm glad you mentioned the word evolve, because that kind of left my head. That was something I wanted to talk about.
I still haven't watched the first episode, but
you have.
Yeah.
I checked it out. Mm-hmm. I agree with you, Ducky, when you said it's got that real cool indie vibe.
Well, it was an indie promotion.
Right.
Well, it so did NXT when it first
still
became.
Kind of, yeah, they still kind of retain it. Now, I did see a big video wall, you know, like you had to give it some WWF to it.
No, of course.
You know, they did kind of have a small graphic wall and all that.
It's like what WWF has at their house shows, the small graphic wall, not the big stage. So you got to have something that looks like an LED board.
Right.
And because of Def Rebel's shitty music, you need to know who's coming out.
It needs to display their name in big-ass fucking letters. Can't just have the video like they used to on the Titantron.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to just be big-ass letters.
It's just like, who is that? Oh, okay.
And you have to have music that starts off with like a video or an audio stinger that just says, like, I am so-and-so. Or just saying their name really slow and deep.
Didn't need music when the faces would come running out
because people knew.
Like I remember, you know.
Oh, Jeff Hardy's coming to save his brother. I got to dance.
You got to dance. You have to hear the music. No, like in the territory days, you knew, like when the heels were beating up one of the faces, you knew the other faces were coming out. From all the kids screaming the second they saw Manny Fernandez or the Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, coming
Magnum
through the
TA,
curtain.
Everyone went ballistic.
Yeah.
It was...
Their music hitting before they come out during a beatdown is just like... All I imagine is just them running through the backstage and going through the production area and going, play my music!
Quick, yeah.
Hit the button!
Or they just run by the soundboard themselves and they just go, and they run out.
Is that why Orton walked to the ring at Elimination Chamber? Maybe, he was running through the back?
Yeah, and he's
hit the button! I'm tired now.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I can't do this anymore.
Okay, I'm walking.
Oh, also, I just want to throw in a little asterisk here. Fun fact, for the first time ever in their careers, John Cena is a heel while Randy Orton is a babyface.
Yep.
For the first time ever.
In their careers.
Because John Cena has been a babyface for the last 20 or so years.
21 years.
Orton's kind of flip-flopped back and forth, being a heel. But
Randy is such a good heel.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a better.
I liked how he said on SmackDown, for 20 years, John Cena was at the top of the company, and now he's just a bottom for The Rock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Right on.
So I have a feeling we're going to get one more Randy Orton versus John Cena.
If that's John's last match, I'm okay with that.
Cena-Randy. Cena-Randy for the WWE title at Ruthless Aggression.
Yeah. If anyone's going to induct Cena in the Hall of Fame, Kurt or Randy?
Randy. Yeah, he's been as Randy to John Cena is like Steamboat to Flair.
Yeah.
It's got a
Nikki's boobs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Nikki's boobs. Yeah. That's going to induct John Cena.
That's right.
The Bellas on the interview thing they were just on talked about Cena turning. And Nikki was like, I love this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good. Good. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, if anybody hates it, they're an idiot.
Yeah. Nikki was like, it's needed to happen. And now that it's happening, I'm in. So
good. Well, at least I agree with her on that. That's about it.
I love those Cena memes. It's like, I knew he was heel when he proposed to Nikki and didn't marry her.
I knew he was a heel when he took the WWE Championship off Rey Mysterio the night that he won it.
Yep.
I knew he was a heel when he no-sold a DDT onto the floor from Wade Barrett and then came back and squashed all the other members of Nexus.
Have you watched Total Divas? He's a heel.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was just a man with house rules, basically saying, pick up after yourself. How does that make him a heel?
So we got some homework.
Yeah.
For you guys and for all of our listeners. Check out WCW Vault. What, like, everything I mentioned, that's my recommendation. Mm-hmm. I do want to see some of the Nitro stuff. I want to see the Starrcade Bret Hart Hulk Hogan match. You know, I believe that's up as a single match, and there's a single match from one of the from Chi-Town Rumble, Steamboat Flair, during one of those matches from the trilogy. Okay,
oh, so yeah,
those are my recommendations. Yeah, speaking of Bret Hart,
yeah,
okay, and this is,
I know where you're going.
This is really. Okay, because, you know, being Canadian, being both a wrestling and hockey fan for as long as I can remember. Well, I was actually, I remember being
all
a hockey
your life.
Fan. I discovered hockey fan for as long as I can remember back. Became a wrestling fan in 79. Okay, but, like, that's a long time to be fans of both. And I've seen, like, a lot of shit. In both. Recently, I saw, and being a good Canadian boy, this caught my eye, and it got me thinking. I'm going to throw this out to you guys and our listeners and all that. There was a meme questioning who was a bigger star internationally, Bret the Hitman Hart or Wayne Gretzky.
Okay. And the meme was the Simpsons meme of...
I couldn't remember the details.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
And so it's basically thinking, good question. Who would be the bigger international star? Okay, in Canada, no doubt Gretzky would be.
Of course.
You know, because he's the greatest hockey player of all time.
Yeah.
Okay, like, in terms of stats...
The greatest hockey player of all Trump.
You know, but honestly, like, to me, ever since he became this big Trump sucker, and I'm not going to get too political, okay?
Our opinions on Donald Trump are well documented.
Right.
We don't need
Right, but with everything that's going on, like, I'm sorry, but I'm losing a lot of respect for Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah, you got to think, like, with all the things that the guys, like, some things you can't really, you can only ignore so much up until a certain point.
Right, when when the guy says he wants to turn Canada in the 51st state.
Yeah.
You know, like, even if.
And to be one of the greatest Canadians of all time to support this guy.
Right, like, yeah, he was at his inauguration and he's got, you know, the ass-kissing pictures with him and all that, and it just... He was at Mar-a-Lago and all that. It's really disheartening. Like, if all of this crap wasn't going on, fine. You go do you, Wayne, okay?
Right, but...
But with all of this going on, like, it's really disheartening. It's really disappointing.
Well, yeah, well, like I said, like, with everything that Trump's been doing and, like, the tariffs and the...
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right. Right.
Like
the
tariffs, the threats, like basically saying to Canada, he's like, well, if you don't want to pay the tariffs, you just become my 51st state. That's the ultimatum. I don't see any other way around this. Yeah. Right. You know, and all the shit, the meeting that he had with the Ukrainian president and how that went down.
Oh, jeez.
Just a bunch of old bullies being like, how come you're not wearing a suit, huh? What's your problem?
Oh, God, yeah. How come you're not wearing a suit? You seen the shit that Elon has wore in the White House with the
T-shirts and hats,
jeans?
Yeah.
Like, he was...
I just love that when his kid walked up...
One of the richest men of all time not wearing a fucking suit.
But when his kid walked up to Trump and was like, you're not the president.
You're
that
not
was
the president,
funny.
Yeah.
It was or Zelensky's kid walked up?
No,
Elon.
One of Elon's little kids. I want to see the four women... You know, that this bastion of the Family Values Party, I would like to see these four women line up all 13 of his kids and go...
Name them. Yeah.
Actually, he has 14.
Does he?
Yeah, he just had 14.
Another one pushed another unit out. Yeah, I know.
Melania had a kid. Well, another one?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, how old is Baron Von Trump? I mean, Baron Trump.
Baron Von.
Yeah, he's, you know...
Baron von Rath.
He's 17 now, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he was 10 the first time around. I remember that.
But yeah, but all of that kind of aside, in Canada, okay, I guess we got to give it to Gretzky. In the U.S., this is where it might get a little tougher. Okay, because hockey has grown leaps and bounds over the last 20 years.
And now they just bitch when Canada beats them.
Well, yeah, well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, like, arguably, yeah. Gretzky was better known for his time with L.A. than he was for the Oilers.
Well, in the U.S.
Yeah, depending on who you talk to.
In the U.S.,
yeah.
But in Canada...
Internationally, I would say, yeah, obviously more.
Yeah. In Canada, yes. And Gretzky had those, the dynasty, the Edmonton dynasty mm-hmm. from the, well, it was 4 years that they won the cup four years in a row. So in Canada, got to give it to Gretzky. The U.S., not as much as Canada. So for me personally, I'm just going to. Kind of not by much, maybe a little sliver to heart. Okay, just in terms of visibility, you know, and public consciousness.
I can't help but think, speaking of great Canadians, I can't help but think if Gord Downie were still with us, how many songs would the Tragically Hip have written about this?
Oh, God. Yes, yeah. And there is a lot of songs anti-Trump. Like, I just heard I was out and about today on my way here, I was listening to a song in the car called The Day Democracy Died, which was a parody of Don McLean's American Pie, which, nice. Okay, a total anti-Trump song, a total conservative like Don McLean. I hate to say that because I love the song American Pie, just as a song, it's right. Absolutely fantastic. But McLean is such a big conservative, always was. Mm-hmm. God, that must be just gnawing at him.
They remade the My Name is Joe and I Am Canadian commercial from the 90s to be more update about today's.
Oh, really?
Yeah. With the same guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But he says, my name is Jeff. He's like, we are not the 51st anything. See, we would rather have a hot cheesy Putin than a hot or a hot cheesy poutine than a hot cheesy Putin.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna have to check that out.
I'll show it to you when we're done here. Okay, I imagine that Gord Downie would have some things to say about Wayne Gretzky. In particular, regarding this, because he passed away 1 year into Trump's first term.
Oh, okay.
So 2017, I believe, is when Gord Downie.
Gordon's been gone that long already?
Yeah, 8 years. Yep.
Yeah. And I guess internationally, got to give it to Bret Hart. Just for the WWF's reach internationally to countries that don't really care about hockey. Mm-hmm. Like, hockey has, over the last 20, 30 years, has a lot of depth internationally now. But it's a lot of it is Europe, okay, while the WWF goes to Australia, Japan, the Middle East, you know. So I think we got to give it to Bret Hart.
Also, I just wanted to mention that Jello Biafra recently performed Nazi Punks Fuck Off with Cavalera Conspiracy, renamed it Nazi Trump's Fuck Off.
Oh, okay, I got to see that. Yeah. You have to show me that.
Yeah, okay.
Right,
I will.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. That's one of my all-time favorite songs.
Nazi punks. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Not just Nazi dead punks, Kennedys, Nazi but Nazi napalm death.
I just love walking version. Through the mall here with my municipal waste shirt. It's great. It's like I get the dirty looks, and I'm like, oh, I know why you don't like this shirt.
Well, that's there the was one with time when Trump I, having when his when brains
was,
blown.
When
out,
I was
right?
still in, yeah, when I was still in, shit happens. We were at the. The vendor by Ev's old place, and some dude behind me was like, what's that shirt? What does it mean? The only walls we build are walls of death, because that's what it says on the back. Mm-hmm. And he just went on a fucking tirade, and I turned, it was Trump shooting himself, and he went off. I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, like, we actually
I'm just buying beer and leaving. Fuck you. Like, leave me alone.
Maple MAGA is actually a thing.
It's like, Canada. Oh, this shirt offends you? Good.
Well, people complain about everything being left and woke and like it's everywhere, but then you go down to a state like Florida and it's like just as bad for MAGA stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like Trump supporting stuff every fucking.
Look at some places in Alberta now. There's Make Alberta Great Again.
Yeah, that's part of Maple MAGA and all that. Which
it's all about what you pay attention to. Yeah. Like there's saturation and extremism everywhere from both sides, depending on where.
I was watching an old Family Guy episode last night. From 2019, where Lois reading the paper, she's like, "Oh, I see here Trump hung himself." And then it was like, the caption underneath it was, "Yet has it happened yet?" Question mark.
Okay, I got to switch gears here because if I get on this topic, I'm not going to get off, and I want to have a good evening.
Yeah,
we're gearing up for a fun time, so we're going to switch gears to the turnbuckle talk.
We got 22 minutes at the time of recording until it starts.
Good. We're going to time this great. Okay, for this episode's turnbuckle, as fans, you know, we're going about our lives like while following wrestling, watching it, getting into it. Okay, we don't really think about the future too much.
No.
You know, it's the here and now. We think about the past.
Everything.
Especially me.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know. But, everything just moves so quickly in the world of wrestling, it's hard to really think about. It's easy to speculate, but it's, really hard to predict. And, stuff that you think would happen just doesn't end up happening eventually over time. And,
But then there's stuff that happens that just...
comes out of left field.
Never would have seen. Never would have thought that would happen.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe, the three of us, we could sit down. Quick, what do you got?
What's up?
The pre-show for AEW for Jericho won. Duh.
Of course.
For fuck's sake. And he's currently taking Luchador's masks. He took Gravity's mask and is now beating him up, and he's trying to threaten to take Bandido's right now.
That's a good idea, actually, because what the mask means to the luchadors and all that, that's smart. As much as we like to criticize Jericho for the Samosa match and crap like that.
Samosa? You mean mimosa?
Mimosa.
Samosa, Samosa is an Indian pastry.
Oh, now Gravity's mother and sister are in the ring. Crying.
We'll get to that later. This isn't live, so we can't really. No point in talking about it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that, like, over the years, that I didn't. No way. Like that. I never would have predicted that would have happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So I figured, okay, this is a good time. Let's sit down, maybe share our thoughts about stuff that we never thought would have happened.
No. Okay. Let's do it.
Throw it out one of you guys.
Rollins turning on the Shield.
Yeah. Well, the way they set it up was that Ambrose was going to be the one to turn, but then they swerved us with the night after the Shield beat Evolution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's always a
plan B. Yeah.
After the debut of Blutista.
Oh, yeah, and then, didn't he, retire again after that?
Not too long after that, yeah.
Or wasn't it earlier that night, didn't he do the whole,
Yep.
Now he had the goodbye wave to Triple H, yeah.
There's always a plan B.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and that's when Rollins became,
Part of the Authority.
Part of the Authority Rollins, when he won the Money in the Bank.
Yep.
Which led to him cashing in at WrestleMania, the heist of the century.
Yep.
And
then he busted his knee at a house show.
He tore his ACL.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oops. Wrestling Kane.
Doing a move that he's done 1,000 times before. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
There's no justice in that. Like, when a good guy like Rollins gets hurt and Kane walks out, no problem.
Wah, wah. All right.
Just planted his feet wrong and there you go.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Like that guy in Mexico last week.
Oh, yeah.
He tore a bunch of shit in his knee during his entrance. He just stepped wrong and there he goes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What do you got?
The New Day turning heel and kicking Big E out.
Yeah.
Never thought I'd ever see that happen.
Turning heel, yes.
Kicking they were technically
They were heels to start, but then again, so was John Cena.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
And no one fucking believes that.
Yeah.
It's just like.
Yeah. Yeah, when New
John
Day
was a good bad guy.
When New Day first formed, they were heels. Yep. But then people got into their whole power of positivity and clapping along to everything, and eventually like the crowd turned them babyface, mm-hmm. essentially.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And then for 12 years, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were like baby faces for that long straight. Nobody thought they were one of the company's biggest merch sellers. The pancakes, the bootios, yeah, right. All that stuff, the unicorn stuff, all that stuff was like huge sellers. They got a response every time they came out. Everyone loved them. And now with Kofi and Woods going heel, kicking out Big E and essentially being exiled from the locker room just for kicking out Big E, because you don't do that to Big E. No. Come on now.
And even after that, Dominic Mysterio was like, I hated him too, but that was just...
Yeah, you don't do that.
You don't do that, and walked away.
Yeah.
The one cheer Dom has gotten the last 2 years was that.
Yeah. Other than that, he's like one of the most booed people on the entire roster. Yep. Yeah.
So no one was kind of expecting
like
a new
Big E.
Day.
I
turn.
Hate him too, but that was too far.
Yeah.
You now see videos, and these are probably stage of kids crying watching
Cena's
turn.
Oh,
and all
great.
That. So that was huge.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to go one more.
Okay.
Because Hulk Hogan was the WWF's golden boy.
Mm-hmm.
He was, you know, Mr. Merch. He headlined all the manias. Like, he was the biggest first wrestler on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yep.
Like, he was
in
the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His name and popularity superseded wrestling.
Right, yeah. For sure. So with that in mind, the Hogan heel turn, I never know. No, not Hogan. Like wrestlers,
like,
turn heel all the time.
A lot of people but, still to this day accuse Bobby Heenan of spoiling it when he said, "Oh, but whose side is he on?" Completely forgetting that Bobby Heenan has made a career out of hating Hulk Hogan that went across WWF and WCW.
Yeah.
So it was perfectly natural for Heenan to doubt. Yeah, and he used that to gloat about it when he eventually did drop the leg on Savage. And it was perfect. I knew he was going to do that.
Yeah.
I knew he was going to do that.
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW.
but just the fact that there was just so much money and visibility and notoriety that in Hogan being the good guy.
But the ironic thing is that he went to turn heel, and then the NWO became one of the most popular things in all of professional wrestling.
Oh, definitely,
so,
definitely.
Yeah.
So it did.
So they didn't lose any merch money.
No.
So.
Yeah, it did. But leading up to that,
and still
beach
people
blast,
are buying a shit ton
or
of NWO.
Bash at the Beach.
Bash at the
Beach.
Yeah,
1996. Yeah.
Yeah.
Leading up to that, no, I never would have.
Never would have thought.
No. Just never mind storyline. Just. No.
Yeah, and oh, not to mention all the trash that was thrown into the ring after that.
It was a beautiful moment.
Oh, it was all timer. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, that is definitely something that's
going to be. And people are comparing Cena's heel turn to that. It's like,
well, we'll see. No, we still need to see the follow up of Cena's heel turn,
right,
though. That's like a big part of it is how you follow up.
Right.
Which brings me to mine, if you wouldn't mind me going next.
Please do.
My next one, Stone Cold Steve Austin turning heel and aligning himself with Vince McMahon. Because
same thing.
Those two, yeah, but those two had made a career out of hating each other so damn much.
Mm-hmm.
And you never would have, like, but this is after Stone Cold came back from being run over by a car and having his neck broken. And, like, he
Rikishi did it for the Rock.
Yeah, of course. But, and then it turned out to be Triple H that masterminded the whole thing. But, like the build up to that match and like the video packages, like say what you want about Limp Bizkit, but that the My Way video packages were all timers in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Building that
That's
match.
That's still one of, if not the best promo vignette.
Yeah, and like Austin saying straight up that he needed to beat The Rock and he did it by any means necessary, and like Vince coming out there and helping him, like. He couldn't get it done with two stunners. The Rock still kicked out, so he literally resorted to beating the absolute shit out of The Rock with a steel chair to the point where he couldn't move, and then pinning him, and then shaking hands with the devil himself, Vince McMahon. And it was a shocking moment. Nobody saw it coming, and it was essentially the end of the Attitude Era right there.
Yep.
WCW was gone at that point, The invasion angle hadn't yet started, but the follow-up, kind of a failure. Kind of.
There was definitely no NWO.
They turned Austin into this paranoid, I don't even know what word I would use, but a paranoid suck-up to Vince McMahon, being like, you still like me, right? We're still best buds. Okay. Yeah.
See, that's... Wow.
Yeah, and then
but
and
he
then,
did get that sick Disturbed theme out of it.
We did, but then, then it all led up to Vince being like, the invasion angle came in, and Vince was all like, "I need the old Stone Cold, who wouldn't take shit from anyone." And yeah, and then at first Stone Cold was all like, "No," but then eventually he came back and whooped ass, and then ended up turning heel again, essentially,
yeah,
and joining up with WCW and the Alliance, even though he was the WWF champion.
Yeah, like
the next person who walks into this locker room, I'm gonna beat their ass. Van Damme walks in. Hey guys.
Hey Steve, what's up?
Yeah, well, Austin personified the WWF.
Yeah.
So for him, like,
for him to jump over to the company that fired him via fax.
Why?
Yeah. I know, but
it just doesn't.
Well, it's WCW, where probably, the big boys play with themselves.
It was because they couldn't get any of the bigger name guys like Goldberg and Hogan and Nash. Right. And like,
they wouldn't take the buyout.
Yeah, they wouldn't. Sting, they all chose to sit at home and get paid, which, you know what? After seeing the way the invasion angle turned out, I don't blame them. So they knew, all of those guys knew that Vince would make them look weak because they were WCW guys.
Right.
So,
and just think, the first WCW guy to show up was Mike Awesome.
Wasn't it Booker T?
I think it was Austin. No, he just showed up on an episode of Raw.
Kind of out of the blue.
He attacked somebody in the... Who was it? Edge, I think?
Yeah, and then it was Lance Storm was the second one, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was so stoked when I saw that. I was like, yes! he's going to win the Intercontinental Championship, and he's going to rename it the Canadian Championship, just like he did. But then, he did win the Intercontinental title, but he never renamed it, unfortunately.
Right.
So that they dropped that whole gimmick when he came by. So,
it's funny if you just like remember this.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned Austin.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because I remember, Steve Austin in the old world class days, like kind of as a rookie or just in his first couple years. Man, this kid's got potential.
This kid.
Yeah, because he was a young guy.
Yeah, when you think now he's like in his late 50s, early 60s. But
WCW brought him in.
Yep.
You know, TV champion, U.S. champion, joined the Dangerous Alliance, tag team champion, the Hollywood Blondes.
Yeah, with Pillman. Yeah,
with Pillman. There's a Hall of Fame tag team at some point. Okay. Is the interviews? He had Dangerously for that. Okay. Awesome work rate. He's a hell of a wrestler. This guy is going to be the next Ric Flair. You know? There's no way that we could have predicted he was going to the WWF. Well, maybe.
He wasn't the next Ric Flair. He was the first Stone Cold Steve Austin.
There is no way. Yeah. The Stone Cold character?
Yeah.
Forget it. Because he was on such a trajectory as Steve Austin that we knew in WCW that was going to be the next big thing.
Stunning Steve, the Ringmaster, whatever, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, now, this is totally different. He made it work.
He did.
You know,
and to an extent, you can thank Owen Hart for that, because of the pile driver, he ended up having to change his entire style.
There you go, yeah. Yeah, and you saw, like, in the WWF, like, because it's all about, you know, give me a hell yeah and what, and give me a beer and all that. His work rate got lost in the mix.
Yeah, he became a merchandise machine.
Right.
But he essentially became one of the all time, like top five biggest personalities in all of professional wrestling.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Nobody saw Stone Cold coming.
Nope. But I'll admit, I was 12 years old or 11, 12 when Stone Cold first became a thing, and I started seeing all the t-shirts when I was in middle school,
right.
And I was like, what is all this? And that's, so I do credit Stone Cold's popularity for even, like, giving me, like, for bringing wrestling to my attention, so,
I gotta give you credit, okay, because you saw this huge star, and that's how you got introduced to pro wrestling.
Yep.
you are still a pro wrestling fanatic.
There was a I took a 7 year break between 2010 and 2017, but
I took a couple years hiatus myself a number of years back. Okay, but you're doing this.
Yeah, here I am now in my own home recording a podcast about professional wrestling.
Yeah.
When the national expansion hit, and I was in high school at the time, there were so many bandwagon jumpers, all jumping on the Hulk Hogan bandwagon, all jumping on the WWF bandwagon. I've seen a number of these people after high school going into the 90s. Hey, man, I remember in high school, you were like the biggest wrestling fan. Do you still watch wrestling? Oh, yeah, all the time. Buy the magazines, you know, I still have it. Yeah, I gave up on that a long time ago.
Grew out of it.
Yeah, I grew out of it. And all
or
that.
Like you talking to people and they're like, oh yeah, I used to listen to that heavy music, but my wife won't let me.
Yeah, that could be another.
Or I got kids. Thing. I got a wife and kids now, so it's like really,
I don't listen to that anymore. It's
like, I got a wife and kid too, and you know. That
well, even like my buddy, my buddy Glenn, he's played in bands his whole life. He has kids, he's had a wife, well, not to get into his own personal life, but he's still very much into heavy metal, still writes music, still records it. Sometimes when he has a band, he plays live. Recently he played for Undead Miscreant, who I mixed their one and only EP for.
But
he's still very much into the heavy metal mindset and lifestyle. So
it's like every WPW show now I run into one of the guys from Grandmaster.
Oh, yeah? Which one?
Alec, I think.
Oh, the bass player singer? Okay.
Yeah, I run into him all the time now. WPW shows.
Oh, I was wondering what happened to him.
And these are local bands we're talking after about. Everyone outside of Winnipeg.
Grandmaster's last show was that Ailstorm Ophenomir show.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, ever since Grandmaster stopped being a thing, I don't really see him or Shane all that much anymore.
Shane's a teacher now.
Oh, really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that sounds appropriate.
Last year, he was telling me that they got together for the first time since that show.
Wow.
All of them sat in a room and, like, talked.
Well, I knew Matt was playing for Attilan after Grandmaster folded, but now Attilan has even folded since then, sadly. So, yeah.
Give me something, dude.
We can't say John Cena's heel turn. That's basically what this whole thing's about.
Yeah,
so.
that's
the instigator for the conversation.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, maybe subconsciously, but... Yeah, something you never would have. You just didn't see coming.
I'm trying to. That's a tough one because there hasn't been many.
Oh, okay.
Can't think of right now.
What do you got? Well,
kind of a two-parter.
Oh, okay. It was just announced too. So we talked about it last week, but just really quickly, Natalya wrestling for NWA in May.
Oh, okay. Well, that's.
That's I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. I think is she still under contract with the WWF?
Yep, she was just on Raw this past week in a backstage segment. So,
oh, okay. See, I like that Triple H is letting their talent like go to some indies.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because Triple H knows that the WWE is not WWE no longer exists within its own bubble anymore. Mm-hmm.
Right.
So, yeah.
Right,
it's like last year when he was just like, "Oh, Shayna can do Bloodsport."
Yeah,
it's like what the fuck?
When Vince wouldn't let anybody work outside of WWE and acted like nothing existed outside of WWE, it was just so patronizing.
It was, and Vince, ever since the national expansion, McMahon was always like that.
And what was even worse was the fans who went along with it.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's still fans.
It's like nobody cares about the little leagues.
There's still people like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, but when Harley Race makes their debut, though, you know, the veteran Harley Race, okay, at least you threw the veteran in there, you know, even though, like, he looks like he's 80 and he's been wrestling for 80 years, you know, like, it's just, I had to shake my head, but, like, Vince was always like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know,
stubborn,
just
stubborn little fuck.
Wrestling is so much more fun without Vince McMahon.
Right? Yeah,
like, it really is.
It's like I imagine Vince McMahon is like Lionel Hutz, where he's like, "Can you imagine a world without lawyers and seeing everybody just dancing?"
Yes, that's a perfect analogy. Yes, all the wrestling fans all get together and join hands.
Yeah, you just see Vince McMahon imagining all that, and he's just being like.
Yeah.
Well, imagine the fucking how much he trashed his house when Cena turned.
Oh,
Vince wouldn't have allowed that.
If he even watches,
he might not even know where he is right now.
Yeah, but So my two parter thing that I was gonna get into. Never did I ever think WCW would fold and close its doors. But it just didn't seem like a fathomable thing to me.
Because, it was so huge at the time.
Yeah, it was a weekly wrestling show that was coming from arenas. Little did I know at the time that the reason why I couldn't see most of the audience is because it was blacked out and there was barely anybody there. But I didn't think about this stuff when I was that young.
Right.
So not only did I think that the WCW would fold and WWE would become the only player in the game for what would turn into, like, almost 20 years, but I got so used to that fact over almost two decades, I never would have thought another player like AEW would have come into the fold and been in like a legit competition for them. Never did I ever think that another company would come in. Cause like, I know TNA tried oh so desperately. Did they try, but they never got to that, like primetime cable upper echelon. They were always kind of like the in your back pocket company, no matter who they signed. Mm-hmm. But AEW, they were getting the recognition that TNA kind of wished they were getting over that period. So they got the cable deals. They got the big time overseas shows. They got sold out Wembley Stadium.
Like it was legit competition.
Yeah. Now, not so much when they're kind of like going out of week to week, going out of smaller venues, which looks cool, I will say.
Yeah, it does.
It has a different feel to it than the constant arena, making every arena look the same thing, like how WWE does every week, and how WCW did it, and how AEW did it up until recently for the past 5 years. But never did I ever think that we'd only have one major wrestling company, and then two decades later have another one come in.
Right. And with the, as well, like with the demise of WCW, and I was thinking about this, but I thought, that's kind of an obvious one, so I'm not going to really deal with that. But since you brought up the demise of WCW, just the demise of the territories in general. Okay. Because at one time, you know, like the arenas were packed. Various different federations, like almost on a nightly basis.
Yeah.
The AWA was selling out Minnesota. World Class was selling out in Texas. And, you know, the WWF and then, you know, just the WWF all over the East, the Northeast. And Crockett in the Southern states and all that. Portland, you know, had huge shows themselves. And that was really, really regional. You know, for that whole thing to dry up and disappear, with the national expansion, you saw it was hurting some of the federations.
Yeah.
Never thought, you know, what eventually happened was going to happen because wrestling was just so huge.
And to think that something that was once so big and so beloved just eventually folds and closes its doors for good.
And like that many leagues. It's just I thought that was the obvious one, but since you brought that up, what do you got?
I never thought Goldberg would show up to WWE.
I kind of thought that was inevitable, but I don't know.
At the time, I didn't.
At the time, sure, but like...
Because he was one of those contract...
He was one of the AOL Time Warner contracts,
That was just sitting at home. And he wasn't... he was just brought in because Hogan said, hey, you can make a lot of money doing this.
Yep.
You know, he just like Lesnar and all that. And
he was a football player.
Yeah, he didn't have the passion for pro wrestling that a lot of the wrestlers do. So, yeah, to your point, Dustin, I could see Goldberg coming in.
I was, what, 10?
Being a huge thing.
When
you know,
Goldberg in 2003?
Yeah. Okay. Were you? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But he comes in. He's, you know, made all this money and all that.
First spear on Get Rock out. 2 good.
Yeah. But then he was only there for a year. And then he fucked off again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he didn't come back until, what was it, 2016?
Yeah.
And he has a match with Lesnar.
Beat him in a minute.
His last match was with Lesnar at WrestleMania 20. And then both of them fucked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then his first match back in 2016 was with Lesnar 90 seconds.
90 seconds? Yeah.
Even see, that's a Goldberg match.
Yeah.
That's a good Goldberg match.
Yeah.
When Goldberg matches when they tried to when he came into WWE for that 1 year between 03 and 04, when they tried to make all of his matches long and drawn out, that was not Goldberg.
No.
Goldberg matches need to be short and sweet.
Yeah. And that one with Brock was fantastic.
Because he's not a wrestler. He's an entertainer. And he's got two moves, and that's all. Yeah.
And he never should have lost.
No.
Like that. That was.
Speaking.
Yeah.
Undertaker's WrestleMania streak coming to an end.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Good choice. Yeah. Good choice. Because, like, why? There's no reason.
And why have it be Lesnar?
Because they're okay,
at the time, I know, but at the time they were building him up to be this unstoppable beast. But
an unstoppable beast that shouldn't have broke the streak.
Yeah.
And then then later in the year he squashed John Cena, which is another thing I never thought I'd ever fucking see. But yeah, that's like seeing the Undertaker's winning streak at WrestleMania coming to an end. That like, and I thought like Ric Flair, Triple H, Shawn Michaels, none of them could get it done. But Lesnar?
And
like Taker even said, him and Brock are good friends. But he said it should have been Roman.
Should have been, but it shouldn't have been anyone.
Yeah.
Why? It's one of those things that you don't have to break it.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
should have just kept that.
Yep.
So I remember just sitting there watching it. It's just like, okay, he's going to kick what?
Yeah. Well, it didn't help that he got concussed like a couple minutes into the match either.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
and it wasn't even a good match. It was a bad match because Mark got himself a concussion. And
yeah,
the best thing about that WrestleMania was that Vince McMahon left the building after that. and they had the main event without him being there.
Yep.
So and then Daniel Bryan won the World Heavyweight Championship, which is another thing I never thought I'd ever see.
Then a month later, he had to relinquish it.
Yeah, because he had too many neck and concussion issues.
Yep.
Wow, yeah.
And then he retired for 10 years.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was supposed to be him versus Brock in that squash match at SummerSlam, but Cena ended up taking it for him, so, yeah.
And, like, the idea for Brock to squash Cena was Cena's idea. It's like, you just had him beat the streak.
Yeah.
Might as well have him squash me.
I mean, good on Cena for going along with that, I guess, but... Yep. And, it's 7:05, so we should probably wrap
this
up.
We're going to wrap this up. I want to throw a couple more out here, though quick. Never did I ever. Oh, there's the name of this.
Never have I ever.
Never did I ever think that there ever was going to be a women's Intercontinental title.
Or a main event of WrestleMania.
Or main event at WrestleMania. Yeah. Because...
Which was botched anyway.
Well, you know. Sasha Bianca was a far better match, even though the triple threat WrestleMania 35 had a far better build.
Mm-hmm.
But that match sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it went on too late. The crowd was dead.
Yep.
It was the last ever one-night WrestleMania. But going back to a women's Intercontinental title, that's...
Because women were a
afterthought.
Or a special attraction. Or,
eye candy.
Yeah, a gimmick or whatever.
Something for a guy in the audience to go...
Basically.
Right. Which wrestling pages are still all that.
I know.
Like, you still had, you know, your Candy Devines, Misty Blue Sims, Wendy Richter, the Jumping Bomb Angels. Like, you still had quality female wrestlers, but there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of them.
No.
You know, and their each federation had a title that didn't have a lot of challengers.
Well, especially, yeah, and then it got into the 90s and the 2000s when you had more Sables and Stacy Keiblers and right. Tori Wilsons.
Yeah, there was less
Deborahs.
There was less, you know.
It's all about TNA.
Right.
Not the wrestling company. Yeah, but,
you know, and it was all about the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
It was divas, not wrestlers.
When Stephanie McMahon was women's champion.
So like,
there's
you had your Litas, but
had Lita and Trish and
Lita was kind of the best of both worlds, but she could work at least.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, she would
Remember
have been
when
great.
Scorpion?
that's what the territories needed.
Yeah,
a Lita back then.
True,
and all that. So yeah, there was no way like there was ever going to be a woman's Intercontinental title.
Yeah, unthinkable.
What?
Or any women's mid-card title. Yeah, I was shocked when AEW brought in the TBS championship.
Yeah.
Or how it looks like the hose.
It looks like it says hose yesterday. Yeah. That's a little bit of irony that nobody saw coming.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have something? I got one more. Okay.
I have one more, but I feel that it probably could be I don't know if it's the same as yours, and I think
it's not.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Vince McMahon being forced out of the WWE.
You know, what a great choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never think.
He had such a stranglehold on it
Over the industry altogether.
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah. You know, and it took a non-wrestler.
Yeah. It took cancel culture.
Yeah.
And him being a piece of shit.
Yeah. That's what it took to get rid of that asshole.
Yeah. It took a couple of tries over two years
because
he forced himself back in through a hostile takeover because he was the majority shareholder. Mm-hmm. But you know, Janelle Grant came back again
You're right. Yeah. Because just for a decade, I thought
when he put out that tweet saying that at 70, whatever years old, it's time for me to retire. I was like,
yes.
What?
Yes.
I had to check the calendar. I was like, it's not April 1st.
Is this actually what is that?
The only way
I remember our podcast about that. We were just like, what is going on?
Yeah. What's going on in Bizarro World?
Here? Yeah.
It's
I was like,
it's good that Vince is gone, but this is actually happening. What
how?
I had to pinch myself. I had to punch myself. I had to check my pulse.
Yeah.
This is a fake site, right?
Yeah.
I thought. The only way there's going to be a McMahon-less world is when he passes away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we thought, well, he's only 70. He's still got some time, but you never.
Right. But like I said, I'm glad he's gone.
WWE is McMahon-less. Well, with the exception of Triple H, but he's not blood related. So,
Right. And finally, there are only two of them left. Two wrestling magazines on the shelves in the North America, Pro Wrestling Illustrated in England, Behind the Ropes.
Yeah, even WWE magazine, I'm pretty sure is long gone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was that one time, man, like when I was in my teens, when I started buying the magazines in my early teens, there was an entire section, of the magazine rack dedicated just to pro wrestling magazines. And even before my time, from what I'm hearing from stories, believe it or not, people older than me, talking about how there was twice as many, you know, even bigger racks than what I had as a teen. And then just, you know, and some magazines would disappear, but others would show up.
Yeah.
Like the whole After magazines, they had four every month. Quarterly, they had two special issues.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you had Wrestling World, Wrestling Main Event. Then every once in a while, you'd see these other titles.
Actually, technically, there's three.
Three.
Japan.
Which?
They still have a weekly wrestling magazine.
Oh, okay. But we don't see them on the racks here.
No, that's not your local 7-Eleven.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the ones I had to fucking order. So.
Yeah, I remember every month there'd be a new WWE magazine or WWF magazine, Raw magazine, and then
I still have a stack somewhere.
After the brand split, WWE magazine became SmackDown magazine.
Yep.
So I figured, this was
It just plays into the demise of physical media in general.
In general, like, yeah. Just magazines in general.
With Blu-ray coming off the shelves now, yeah, out of production, with bookstores becoming a thing of the past.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah.
Like, yeah.
Oh, another quick one. When WWE decided to stop doing DVDs, too.
Well, that was kind of inevitable with the demise of physical media as well. Kind of plays into the same thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything's streaming, everything's digital. It's like the old saying goes, you will own nothing and you'll be happy.
So we're going to bring this crazy train into the station now because, like you said, Revolution is starting. Yep. I want to pour a couple drinks of Canadian whiskey.
I got a recording so we can fast forward through the ads or any merch ads that come up. So yeah.
Good, good. So how can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us, as always, on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada or on Instagram at Wrestling Night in Canada.
Right on. And, of course, Wrestling Night in Canada are proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you're checking the show out from some other podcast aggregator or whatever, make sure to go there. There is a metric shit ton of awesome, primarily pro wrestling shows and podcasts, but there's probably something there for a little bit of everyone, particularly our sister show. If you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy now, go over there. If you like the heavy music, radioactive metal with our good buddy Aaron,
yep,
go there. Check it out. Yeah,
we're Ducky and I are no strangers to the show either. We've been on the show before. We'll be on the show again.
We pop up every now and then.
Yeah. So
for our own little Jetsons meet the Flintstones crossover.
So once again, to our Canadian listeners, elbows up.
You missed your elbow.
Yeah. In the meantime and in between time, that's it. Another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.